Welcome back. Like, yes, welcome back.
Yeah. To either, we don't know, a second episode or a part two of one episode. We haven't figured that out yet.
I'm just not sure how long, yeah, it's gonna be with my part. I don't know, but come to find
what
out.
What can you do? That's why we did a deep dive episode. We knew it was gonna
be longer. You never want to like cut anything out too much. Like you kind of want to feel like you did something justice in a way. I don't know.
Yeah. And we didn't even do that much tangent stuff in mine.
No.
So I mean,
I thought you were gonna say like watch, for some reason I was thinking about, because I almost had watched, like, I think you could get the My Friend Dahmer, which I know is my sister's I know she's watched that movie because she told us about that title, if we were gonna do Dahmer or something, I think so.
Okay.
I think it's on Amazon Prime, but didn't watch it yet. There's been
no,
yeah,
I've heard of it. There's a lot of, they're doing like a new one.
Oh yeah, with,
there's, yeah, there's quite a few we can watch. Bet. I didn't watch anything. I just looked at a bunch of
stuff. Yeah, I don't think there's anything on like Netflix right now or anything like that. They're like, let's do new stuff. But
yeah, not about Dahmer.
Yeah, not about Dahmer. So mine picks up with his second victim, Dahmer's second victim. Which happened in 1987. Pause for dog, he's scratching.
We paused for cat so many times. Fenrir had to get his in, being like, this is my half, dog sounds.
Scratching his claws, and I'm like, oh, I need to cut your nails. Anyway.
Yeah, I need to cut Gordo's again.
Oh my god. Well, because he's got, everyone always said he has big paws since he was a puppy. And so if he paws you, he's trying to be affectionate, but a lot of time his claws can really, and his weight can really, really hurt or really bruise my leg. I can hear.
Can't he see the do not disturb sign? Did you put that right? Can't he read it?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first victim's name was Stephen something, right?
Yeah, Stephen Hicks.
Okay, Stephen Hicks. Okay. There's a comedian I listen to, I think that's Bill Hicks. Well, his second victim. Sorry. I'm like, tangent, mini tangent. No. But like, it's interesting because like his second victim is also named Stephen. I just kind of thought about, Stephen Tuomi.
Okay.
Yeah, from September 1987. So I don't have a lot of details. I mean, purposefully, the most shit you can find is a lot of details on each of the killings. And so that stuff is a bit oversaturated or whatever. So I got a bit of a timeline about him and the rest of his stuff. And then I have some more on like the victims and stuff.
Oh, good.
There's a lot out about each, you know, death and everything, so that can get a bit much.
Yeah, it's basically just like reading paragraph after paragraph a lot of times, of like the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, his MO is probably the best, one of the best known things about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, I guess I don't have exactly how they met, but they checked into a hotel to party and drink together, Jeffrey Dahmer and Stephen Tuomi. But like, as you kind of touched on, I think he mostly picked up like men at gay bars and like public places like that, malls, yeah, and bus stops and all these great innocuous places that you just,
yeah,
want to feel safe at.
yeah.
So yeah, a lot of gay men, a lot of black men, and black and non-white men,
which is kind of interesting because they talk, yeah, about like serial killers and stuff, and that they don't typically kill outside of their race, you know, like if somebody's killing black people, it's almost always somebody that's black, and then like if somebody's white, they're almost always killing other white people,
right? I feel like you might have talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. They like talk about it in a lot of stuff, that like that's how they do their like profiling and stuff for serial killers, is they look at the majority of the victims, like what ethnicity they are. And normally people won't kill outside of their ethnicity, obviously, unless it's like a hate crime related thing. Right. So I wonder what like his motivation is. Is it just who's available, yeah, or like wanting to hang out with him, or is it because that's like who, well, he's attracted to, or like, yeah, for some other reason,
like because he's not killing who he knows, which,
yeah,
that could be some of the explanation why you kill more within your race, is like the people you know and interact with, yeah, more often, I guess I would say, right? Not that you don't with other races, but like maybe that's,
yeah, like your community.
Yeah, so if someone's gonna like piss you enough for you off enough for you to kill them, it's probably gonna be someone close to you, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. It's like, okay, so see, now I'm trying to form the thoughts and they're not coming. But that's, yeah, that's interesting. You should say that. Yeah, most of them were. He's white, Caucasian, whatever you want to call it, police terms, and yet most, yeah, of his victims, yeah, are not white. They're black, indigenous people of color. What do they call it? BIPOC? Yes, they're not white people. Yeah. And it's like he's focusing on the minorities specifically, which he obviously isn't a part of, other than, like you said, he identified as gay, so he does feel he's part of that
group. Community, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more to him than I knew of. But so it's true of everyone, I suppose.
Yeah.
So poor Stephen, he had bought a suitcase to stuff Stephen's body into and then transported it into his grandmother's house, which was obviously where he was living at the time. Right. And he took it into the basement. Presumably that's where he had the most privacy. I don't know. You would in my house. We had a weird kind of trap door opening that was open most of the time, but it was one that led to the basement. It wasn't a furnished basement, or like it wasn't even quite finished, right? It just kind of had that,
yeah,
rough floor or whatever. But yeah, creepy kind of basement.
Yeah, I am happy my house doesn't have a basement. Right? Going down the other day just to replace the furnace filter in the crawl space was creepy enough. I don't know. Ooh. I have this thing about somehow somebody living in my crawl space. Just like
things that are subterranean. Basements are basically giant crawl spaces. It's all creepy when you think,
yeah, yeah, about it. And every time I just like cautiously look around and go, oh my god, what if I ever saw something? Like, shit my pants.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because you especially, you don't know what you're going to find once other people have owned a house before you. And you're like, what am I going to find in these walls? Like, I've heard weird stories of people finding things in walls that were just kind of unexplained. And
oh, we just found old library books and report cards that had fallen behind the kitchen cabinets. And we're like, cool. Like, Timmy got a B+. Yeah, it wasn't anything creepy, but
in that gap area.
Yeah. Damn. And they had also used, because they didn't use insulation, so between the walls that we like tore down, the layers of drywall, they would just throw the scraps of drywall like in between it as sort of like insulation. So we just had to get rid of like a whole bunch of scrap, like random lumber, random scrap drywall that was shoved in there everywhere.
As sort of like laziness? No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they had like insulation and that kind of stuff going in like the 40s and 50s. When this house was built. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Reuse for sure. Yeah. Recycle. Okay. What did I get to? Yeah, the basement, obviously. Okay, that's right. Basement. Basements are creepy. So he took Steven's body into the basement, dismembering the corpse, and again, whacked off over it on it before disposing of it. Yeah. So getting his jollies off on these poor people's bodies after they're dead.
Yeah,
apparently that's his thing. I didn't realize that was his almost his main fetish, it would sound like. Well, we'll kind of get to it. You tell me when we're done. It's a lot.
Am I supposed to be like diagnosing him with something?
I don't know, maybe I thought I knew because I remember hearing about him for quite a while, that like it was some maybe I thought it was a case that I understood, but like how can we really understand any of these people?
Well, the only one I ever associate him with or ever knew anything about from his name was just the one Kate, I don't know if it was like Bailey Sarian or what, that covered him that I watched. Oh. And for some reason, none of it I remember, other than like the one guy that wanders out into the street and then the police are like, or like Dahmer comes out and he's like, no, this is my boyfriend. Yeah, that's the one that always sticks out in my mind. The only one I ever remembered. Where I was like, no, that one was bad, I know, but
right.
Yeah.
These are the things that that stick with you when you're like, okay, well that happened. Was shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a picture. It paints a picture in your mind too. And you're like, how could anybody have ignored that flag? But we'll get to it. If anyone doesn't know it, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we haven't spoiled anything.
It's an old case too, so
yeah,
many of you know it. Yeah, he had a thing with the bodies, these poor people. Okay, so this was his second victim. He disposed of most of the body except for the head, which he retained for a further week before boiling it in industrial detergent and bleach, eventually pulverizing the brittle skull, quote, end quote. So he did do that a lot, it would seem, like the experiment with getting rid of the remains.
Which, you know, after the effort of like boiling it and that, to just immediately destroy it just seems such a strange thing.
It's weird. It's like seeing how much it takes. It's like he's seeing how much it takes to get rid of something. Because you like... It's like they say matter can't be created or destroyed. Like you really have to work hard. So when they're like pulverizing, oh my God, how long would that take? It's like you take a meat cleaver and you're like tenderizing a piece of meat. You're whacking at it for a few minutes. He's like whacking at a bunch of bones. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Ugh. Yeah, they must be very brittle after like being treated that way for them to really... Like,
and is he like in the basement there?
Grandma, what's grandma doing?
I'm practicing for Fortune Fire. I'm working on some new hobbies.
I'm blacksmithing.
I don't know. Yeah. Why? Well, what else could he pretend he's pounding on? Oh my God.
I'm going to become a geologist, Grandma. I'm practicing breaking rocks in the basement.
But like, I'm surprised to learn that he, I mean, I guess I had maybe heard that he'd gone into the military, but sounds like he could have been maybe channeled his intelligence into better things. Like
yeah, you talked about, I feel like
he tried different avenues, kind of.
I feel like all of it led back to like the alcohol, like kind of just ruining really like every avenue he had. It stopped him from being able to afford like his rent. It cost him jobs. It cost him the military. It almost cost him school. True. Like,
it took him over. He's like The Shining. Yeah. He's like the Jack Torrance. Yeah. He's like, well, I could have been a good guy, but then
yeah,
got me. I mean, for reals, it's no joke. He would go on to kill two more victims while living with his poor G-ma, his grandma, before she kicked him out. Tired of his late and drunken nights, she would actually kick him out in 1988, the year I was born. So crazy. And then like I said, he would go on to kill two more victims, and then I just have the next two victims that we from here on out, there's a lot, right? He had 17 total, so it's a doozy if ever there was one.
Yeah, I feel like I thought mine was going to be super short and yours was going to be the long half, and then mine was already almost 2 hours, and it was like, oh shit, how long is her half gonna be, because it's got so much more than mine.
Totally. I saw some articles and then I'm like, okay, this looks like, you know, especially with the headers, it's like early life, blah blah blah, and I'm like, holy shit, early life be like long. And oh my gosh, some people have a lot of shit they did. Okay, so this would have been his third victim after Stephen Tuomi. This was October 1987. It was 14-year-old James Dockstader. And, quote, Dahmer brought 14-year-old James Dockstader to the basement of his grandmother's house after promising him $50 in exchange for posing for nude photos. After drugging him, Dahmer struggled Dockstader, disposing of his body in similar fashion to that of Tuomi. That seems to be a common theme. Like a quick cash thing that he seems to convince most of them that is going to happen, which is so sad.
It happens. Yeah, people use it all the time, like in stuff.
I think
like
it's
this
still used, I feel like. I was working at like as a bartender at a hotel bar, so like people want to do skeevy things. Sometimes they might meet at a hotel bar where they can like, they have a room up there after. Well, one time there was like two older gentlemen who were sitting with a prettier, like younger girl, and I remember she, I think, was there for some sort of photo shoot, but they just seemed less than professional, and I just got like a less than wonderful vibe off the whole situation. I remember thinking, but what do you mean? I'm just a bartender, right? Like, it's just, I don't know if they were going to do a photo shoot in the room or if they were just meeting. But yeah, it's kind of like, I've definitely heard of this kind of scam before kind of thing. Sounds like it's an oldie, but it maybe works.
It sounds like it works all the time. Like,
yeah, still, right? This next one, is March 1988. I mean, this Oh, see, I do have a master. Okay, pause for this is my master list of kill count and dates because.
Oh, Jesus.
Literally had to have that for reference, especially when I was like, I'm going to need this. I'm going to need this on a separate piece of paper instead of just in the notes. And it turned out to be very useful. Okay, this one, I remember from what I read, so what I have in my notes is it happened in March 1988. I believe this man went missing on the, I think it was 10 days after my date of birth. So I think it was March 24th, 1988. But I was like, whoa, it was like real close to my birthday. This was Richard Guerrero. He met with Jeffrey Dahmer outside a Milwaukee gay bar. Dahmer offered Guerrero $50 to return to his grandmother's house and spend the night with him. This is a quote. After drugging Guerrero with sleeping pills, Dahmer strangled him before performing sexual acts on the corpse. Yeah, his fetish definitely plays out in his crimes. Yeah. I could tell it from research, like just hearing a little bit. I wasn't diving into the methods of killing and whatnot, but yeah, you could tell he has got a sick fascination with all this shit, like the dead bodies and the almost dead bodies and the sexual gratification with them. It's just a lot. So they said that this time Dahmer dismembered the body within 24 hours, but hiding his killings and the dismemberments was becoming increasingly difficult.
Yeah, grandma's house.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, God, grandma, just getting in the way of my murder spree.
Get out of my life. Leave me alone. I have a little, just a few more of the ones that were more significant to his killings. Sorry, you're good. So the other one, September 1988, was when he abducted Laotian boy. He was from Laos, who was just 13 years old. So that's really shitty. His name was Keeson Cintha Somphone. I really meant to look that one up because it's Southeast Asian name, so it's long, but they're usually fairly pronounced as phonetic. They're spelled.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, I think it's Cintha Somphone or something like that. That's how it's spelled. Keeson S. But he manipulated Keeson into coming back to his apartment with him. He drugged and molested him, but this Keeson was able to escape, and he told the cops about the incident. Yes, he told the cops about the incident, who arrested Dahmer and charged him with second degree sexual assault and sexual exploitation.
That's good, at least.
Yeah, he has some times when people actually do report him and get away, and you would think he's almost stopped and caught, and you're like, yay! But then, not for good. I know, I always get confused. I'm like, okay, wait, is this the time? And it's like, no, not yet. Okay, so while that happened, he didn't let that really slow him down. While awaiting trial for this crime, he lured an aspiring model named Anthony Sears to his house. They had met at a bar and he was charmed by Jeffrey Dahmer. He was 24 at the time. Dahmer feared his apartment was being watched by the police, because like he was already under suspicion because he
charged with
sexual assault
of a minor.
Yeah. So that's why he brought the victim back to his grandmother's house.
Grandma, leave grandma out of this.
I know.
Oh, fuck.
His former house. He barely got out of his grandma's house. He was like, I have an apartment now, but still they're watching me, so.
Yeah.
Dahmer drugged, strangled, sodomized, photographed, and dismembered his body. It's just
terrible.
A lot. At the trial for the sexual assault of the Keeson synthesome phone from Laos, Dahmer pleaded his case, saying he was reformed and remorseful, etc. I know. Of course, he's fine.
Reformed and remorseful. I murdered somebody else while waiting for this trial.
Wait, because you said, yeah, he already had a trial where he was like, oh, I swear I didn't do it. And he got in trouble for something already.
Yeah, he
can't keep it straight now.
There was two. He was arrested for like the indecent exposure. Yeah. In front of like the group, and then the one that was like the two boys by the river. Like, come on.
Oh, and he said he was peeing.
Yeah. And it's like there's obviously a theme with him and boys of varying ages. He's now been arrested and charged with something three times. Like, even though it's not murder, clearly there's something going on. Like,
oh yes. Yeah, because you're right. By this time it is three times. But when I was writing my notes, I was like, this is like at least the first time, and they haven't got it yet.
It's the third time already.
Yeah.
Like, frick. Oh. Enough of these, like, slap on the wrist, pay us $50.
Ugh. That is a problem. Garbage. with this whole case. I'm sure people know it better than we do, but we're like, just from the outside doing a quick deep dive on it, it's like, holy shit, this is
there's so much. You could do entire series on this, and people I'm sure have.
Exactly. Could have been handled so much better. So for this charge, he was given 1 year on day release, which was he worked during the day and went home at night. This is the third one though, right? This isn't the first two that you covered. Okay, I just want to make sure.
So you can only commit crimes during the day. Oh, damn.
He's busy. Frig. He's working, and then he's in prison at night. That's right. Hopefully he won't have time to get in trouble. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
And then, keeping up the theme, his father is still his champion. He was writing, like, a letter to argue for his psychological treatment, so he did get 5 years probation, and not really anything with this work. What did they call it? Day release. So he got basically 1 year of that and was released after 10 months of the 1 year sentence of work day release when he moved back in with grandma and then got his own place. And then over the next 2 years after that, he killed 13 more men. Yay.
Yeah, Jesus.
He's very reformed, just like he said.
So reformed. He's so reformed, it's unbelievable. He's a success story.
He's so fucking reformed, I can't stand it. And then I had I put it as an interesting fact. I guess you can't probably call it fun in any way, shape, or form.
No,
but this is kind of after everything in 1996, way after Dahmer's spoiler death. A group of Milwaukee businessmen raised more than $400,000 to purchase the items he used for his victims, including blades, saws, handcuffs, and a refrigerator to store body parts. They promptly destroyed them in an effort to distance the city from the horrors of Dahmer's actions and the ensuing media circus surrounding his trial. So the city some citizens just want to like wipe him out from the memory.
I thought that was gonna have a different ending when you started that. I was like, oh, they bought the blades and shit because they're weirdos, and then you're like, yeah, so they could destroy them, and I'm like, oh, thank god.
Oh yeah, I did put it in like a weird spot, like,
yeah.
It kind of should go almost at the end. Oh, hang on, I had to open up my oh no, you're good, I can still hear
you. Oh, okay.
There was so much, I'm telling you, but it's bullet points, so I don't know. That was like two pages printed I had, and then this rest was, oh my god, the rest, it is bullet points, but it was technically looks like 10 pages, but probably one page of that was literally sources.
Oh my god.
Okay, because at first I still had some of the sources I almost had twice, because like it'd be like missingpersons.wiki, and then it'd be like slash the missing person's name. And I was like, I probably don't need that in there twice. I should just have the main page. Because there's yeah. not a lot of info on these guys.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's why, again, I'm not sure how long it would take. But we'll see. We're at 9:30. Okay, so that's a bit more before he's caught. Yes. I think, as I may have mentioned, he was constantly experimenting with different ways of dismembering or disposing of the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Always changing kind of the rituals or experimenting with chemicals to burn into the bones. However, I did not know that his father was a chemist, yeah. per se, before I did these notes. So that was interesting.
Here, son, let me teach you over dinner how to burn like the flesh off of bones,
right? Cool. It's like your dad's a taxidermist or something, which I yeah. actually find that more endearing somehow. I don't know. But his dad didn't know.
Wen's too young to teach your son about taxidermy. However old Jeffrey was.
Oh no.
And Kemper. I think he had, did he have like a taxidermy thing? I feel like there was something.
They both did stuff with heads. But yeah. I would say Dahmer seems more, experimental and scientific about it. Whereas Kemper seemed more revenge driven.
Yeah, he was more like, girls don't like me because I'm awkward. And then his mom.
Yeah. He filled her pie hole, that's for sure. Oh god. Insert Patreon plug here, go listen to that.
Yeah, if you don't know anything about Ed Kemper.
Oh, many will. Anyway, yeah, he's okay. Did I say this? We're burying all the fun stuff. He even attempted a few lobotomies.
Oh, I heard about those, yeah.
Yeah. Kept a few skulls after burning away the flesh or disposing it and such. And he kept a few souvenirs and whatnot. And just a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
Even more morbidly and cruelly, he seemed to have drilled into some of his victims' head pre-mortem, or still living, in other words.
Yeah.
Very disturbing. I don't know if most of them would have still been drugged, because most of them were drugged when he started, you know, like he would take them back to his place, kind of under some pretense or another, photos or whatever, and then like would drug them. Like he seemed to have started that at quite a young age, which I didn't realize, with the drugging, their drinks and stuff. Yeah. And then after that, I think he was just like, I'll just straight drug them, whether we're having drinks together or not, you know. It's like the evolution. Okay, so he would also inject them with muriatic acid, which is apparently also known as hydrochloric acid. Yeah, I've heard of. Yeah. loving the acids. And on see, okay, I have a date here, and at this point I was gonna say that he's killed 12 men. I didn't know if I was just gonna read through his list of victims, because I didn't know when to do that in the story, kind of, if that makes sense. So I'll give you where we're up to at this point. You know about Stephen Hicks, that was in 78.
Yeah.
And his next victim was Stephen Tuomi, that was in September 1987. Then we have had Jamie Doxtater. I'm still not quite sure if I'm saying that right. But that was in October 1987. So those two within a month of each other.
Jeez.
September, October. Number four, Richard Guerrero, March 1988. Then number five was Anthony Sears in February 1989. Eddie Smith was June 1990. Ricky Beeks was in July 1990. Ernest Miller was September 1990. David Thomas was also September 1990. And then Curtis Strotter was in February 1991. Errol Lindsay was April 1991. Tony Hughes was May 24th, 1991. And then this happens on May 27th, 1991. So 3 days after the last one. Yeah, I wrote, at this point, he has killed 12 men that are, you know, confirmed later by Dahmer. So we know he's killed these guys. Mm-hmm. And one of them, Tony Hughes, like 3 days earlier. He's just insatiable, apparently. But on this date, a neighbor of Jeffrey Dahmer, Sandra Smith, and her cousin, Nicole Childress, found a naked, disoriented young teen boy of Asian descent wandering their neighborhood, naked and bleeding.
Yeah.
This is, not good. Quite a picture. No. They know something's up. He was actually being pursued by Dahmer at the time. So he was like actually basically chasing him.
Yeah.
And his victim was bleeding from the buttocks area. Dahmer caught up to them and began to try and reassure them it was all fine. And they were going back to his house where they had been, he said, engaging in some consensual sexual activity.
Yeah, because that always involves blood.
Oh, it's not great.
I guess it's the 90s, so I won't like fault people for being unaware, because I guess it's like basically like what near like AIDS crisis and people freaking out about like gay people.
This is a big point of contention or controversy with this case, is that a lot of people are like, this is just unacceptable that what happens in this exact situation next, because anybody you'd think nowadays would see that and be like, something
if you saw like a woman here bleeding like that, you'd be like, fuck off, I'm calling the police. And then that you can sit here and explain to the police why they're bleeding, but terrible.
Because he's saying exactly that, like, oh, it's all fine. This is my boyfriend. He said this is his 19-year-old boyfriend to these neighbors. But one of them, thankfully, like, good for on her, she called the cops anyway. She was like, not good enough.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like the cops were called. The unfortunate part. They arrived, basically believe Dahmer's story enough that they were like this consenting gay couple, that they escorted Dahmer and the 14-year-old Conorak Cinta Somphone home to Dahmer's apartment, where they took a cursory look around and quickly left. So that's the big
terrible
part. Yeah.
Yeah, literally helped him walk this boy back into, like, hell basically, of like this Dahmer's apartment. Like, that's awful.
Yeah. It's like every horror movie where they're like out and then they think they're good and then just someone brings them back in. Yeah. I don't know how they could believe that was consensual either. Like, the obviously the other neighbors didn't think it was. They were like, what the fuck? This is stupid.
Yeah, I would have called the police again and been like, send different police.
It's like when you don't like the person you have on customer service and you're like, I'm gonna hang up and call back and see if I get a different person who's not an asshole.
Yeah, like, oh my god.
No. But you know what? Yeah, I feel shitty even joking about it because it is really fucking horrific. Cause yeah, they brought him back to, you know, what maybe they thought it was his home or they were consenting, but certainly doesn't look good now in hindsight because they brought him back to the apartment where if they had done an actual search of the premises, they would have found Dahmer's last victim, Tony Hughes, remains still in the apartment. They wouldn't even have to try that hard.
Just like the other day, I watched a thing about what's his name? The something strangler.
The something strangler. Uh-oh. Now you get me thinking of the Scranton strangler.
I know, that's all I can think of too. I'm like, fuck you, office. Yeah, but
in America?
Yeah, it's like a true crime one. And yeah, it was like the one girl, she like goes to his place and he tries to kill her and he ends up like raping her over the course of like, I don't know, the entire night. And then she convinces him that because he drugged her and stuff that she doesn't remember what happened.
So he keeps,
and she's like, oh, like, just let me go home. And he's like, you're not going to talk to the police. And she's like, about what? Like, what happened? What are you talking about? She's like, we just hung out and did drugs. And then he's like, oh, and she's like, yeah, there's nothing to say. Nothing happened. I don't know.
Wow. And then girl. So,
but as she's leaving, she literally looks out of the corner eye and sees like a headless body covered in plastic bags and duct tape covered in blood, in another room. And is like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Like, and it's like, yeah,
I'm leaving now. I'm leaving faster.
Yeah, and he basically like follows her out the door, and she's like, I literally walked out onto the porch and was like turned around, and he's like in the doorway watching me walk down the sidewalk. Like, oh my god. Yeah, and she's like, oh my god. Damn. Yeah, I was like, Jesus. Yeah,
what was that? It was a movie.
It was on. It's like a true crime case. I just watched it on Killer Instinct.
Oh, right. Okay. Very classic horror movie or like horror story, like the Captain Bluebeard, where the wife finds all the old wives' skulls in the closet. Like, just classic horror. Ooh. Let me know if you find it. Yeah, it was very unfortunate that then Jeffrey Dahmer made his 13th kill that evening after the police left. And he would go on to kill 4 more times before he was caught for good.
Jeez.
Yeah, still just really shitty that they couldn't have got him that time. I mean, at least they got him. I'm sure I've heard of some cases where fucking people almost have them and then they're gone for good and you never catch them again, and those are like, oh man,
yeah,
fucked up. He was arrested though on July 22nd, 1991. This was when 2 Milwaukee police officers picked up a Tracy Edwards, a 32-year-old black man who was confused wandering the street with handcuffs dangling from one wrist, literally dangling this time. Jeez. Like, can you just paint a sign this time that's like, I am a victim?
Yeah.
He claimed that a weird dude had drugged and restrained him.
A weird dude. Oh, I found it. Sorry. It must be the Cleveland Strangler, because it says a Cleveland community.
Yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's the one that, like, everybody complained about the smell of his house. And he kept blaming it on the sausage factory across the street, but it was actually just his nasty ass house. Yeah.
I remember this. Don't you blame the sausages, you dickwad.
Yeah, the, like, guy that owned the sausage place ended up spending, like, $30,000, like, fixing his septic tank and, like, sewage and plumbing and everything, because he legit thought it was his, like, factory. Oh.
That it's not a sausage party. So, Tracy Edwards claimed he was the weird dude drugged and restrained him, but he was able to get away. And this time, when the police arrived at his place, Jeffrey Dahmer quite calmly offered to grab the keys and unlock the cuffs for themselves, or the police officers, I guess.
Yeah.
So a little different. I think he maybe knows this time's different, but... Edwards had mentioned a knife used to threaten him, which the officers began searching for. They found so much more than just a knife. They found the Polaroid photos of Dahmer's victims, photos of his dismembered victims in various stages.
Jeez.
Of course, yeah, that was probably enough to alert them that this was shiz was for real.
Yeah.
It was definitely enough to warrant searching the whole apartment.
So, yeah, damn right. Oh my God.
Well, thank God though, but you know what I mean? Like it should go without saying, but it didn't the first time. Like they didn't search his apartment good enough. He was subdued and taken into custody at this point. Like I think he did fight them a little bit, but there were several of them, so that didn't last long.
Nah, just shoot him in the face.
Oh my God. It's hard not to feel that way, yeah, with a guy like this.
Yeah, right?
Especially after they find what they find. They didn't know, you know, at this point, the extent of his madness. They found a severed head in the fridge, 3 more in the freezer. Gotta keep some for those days you just don't want to cook. Oh my God.
Yeah, because heads have so much meat.
I'm sorry. I know it could be. I don't even know if they mean the ones that are just skulls. Yeah.
Oh, who knows? Probably the treated ones.
It could be.
This is one I need.
It said then multiple skulls. So I think those ones were full heads.
Oh, okay. Heads and skulls.
Yes. This
knees and toes.
No, but I remember this one was part of a quote, a severed head in the fridge. Oh my God.
Heads and skulls and knees and toes.
And knees and toes.
Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Oh, Jesus. Gordo sedation.
I'm better gonna pull up the video because I can't look at you. multiple skulls. They found genitalia in jars. And of course, more of those pictures thrown around. The jars thing was interesting that he's done that since childhood.
Yeah, the hut. Yeah. Just put weird shit in formaldehyde, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, still the formaldehyde. How he got that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe he got it from his dad. Maybe after he talked to him about how to preserve the bones, maybe he got formaldehyde. I don't know. Been like, hey, dad, can I have some formaldehyde? I'm 9 years old. I thought
he was just asking for science.
Yeah, let's go make a baking soda vinegar volcano.
Yes, those are not harmful.
Yeah.
Or I did the science experiment where you play different, well, I don't know. I thought I got the idea from somewhere, but... We play different music for plants to see if they liked.
Yeah.
They just liked to be played to. Plants like to be talked to, and they like music and they like all of it. it didn't seem to matter. I think maybe they liked rock music better than classical. I can't remember. It was like three different kinds of like music.
Yeah, I've heard of that one before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I looked it up somewhere. It wasn't like I was like, I'm gonna think of this myself, but all right, so at least we know the police apprehended him. A quote from his last intended victim there, Tracy Edwards, said he seemed so normal. Tracy Edwards, 32, a father of six. All right. I couldn't believe that. He escaped. He was that last intended victim that got away and brought the police there. But jeez. Thank God he survived, because he was a father of fucking six.
Yeah, it must have been something to do with money. Maybe he was offered money.
A lot of the times there it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was interesting, the quote, because he said he had met Dahmer at a city mall and was led there by an invitation to a party. He said he turned from Mr. Right to Mr. It. It was like I was confronting Satan himself. So apparently he could just pretty much turn on a dime to like Mr. Batshit Crazy, it sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people went back to him with his house, to his house. He must have been somewhat personable.
Yeah.
The trial began in January 1992 amid considerable, quote unquote, racial tensions, hinging on the fact that so many victims were African American. And then, as it happened, only one member of the jury ended up being Black. So.
Yeah,
didn't think it was great. His dad continued to support him though.
God. Like as his I now family.
Well, I didn't realize his dad stuck with him the whole time. I was just like, okay, I guess his dad came to his trial. Like, good for him.
Yeah, his dad's like, I tried to get rid of his alcoholism. I didn't know he was murdering people.
Sucks. Like, yeah, I didn't see much of, and I didn't see anything about the mom, I don't think. I think you may have mentioned her name, and I was like, I didn't even realize what her name was.
After the one thing, just saying she moves away with David, like, I think I tried looking it up, because I was trying to look up pictures of the family, and the only family picture I even found just says unknown date, and it says, like, David, Jeffrey, and Lionel, and it's, like, the three of them in a picture, like, a professional, like, family portrait done, and the mom's not there. And then I didn't find a picture of David, really, when he's older, but I did find an article that said that he changed his name. Like his last name, and that Joyce also changed her last name and moved.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would.
So I think the dad's the only one that was really like publicly involved with him after anything. Everybody else really like stepped back.
That's right. I was surprised. I didn't even know what the mom's name was Joyce. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh my God, page 2 of 10. That can't be right. No.
No. Mine does that too. When you're scrolling, it's whatever one you last like clicked on.
I suppose. Initially, Dahmer pleaded not guilty, even though he had confessed during interrogation already. And then next, he pled guilty by reasons of insanity.
Yeah, right.
This was based on the simple grisly. Okay, that was my word. I am not going to use it. I was like going to say grisliness.
No.
Gruesomeness. Yeah, it basically just because the crimes were so crazy. That's why they were saying he was insane. It doesn't seem to be a great defense.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't really buying it either. After 10 hours of deliberation by the jury, he was found guilty on February 15th, 1992, but sane on all counts. So, yay.
Yeah, he's not crazy if it's...
No.
I don't agree with, like, people being found like insane for things that are like just so premeditated.
No. Like, yeah, I think that probably got in like used incorrectly a few times, and where yeah. it shouldn't have set a precedent for that kind of shit to go. Oh, he's insane. Yeah, cause why? Because like he killed someone so crazily. Like,
yeah,
doesn't mean he didn't know what he was doing. Just because you can't imagine yourself killing someone so, you know, cold-hearted.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I thought that was stupid too.
Yeah, I feel like everybody tries to plead, like everybody on the face of the earth is trying to plead insanity for everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like, to get sent to a mental institution, maybe, yeah, they think it might be better.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So at first he was, so yeah, he was definitely found guilty. He was given 15 consecutive life sentences, and for some reason, which I didn't have time to look into, was given an additional life sentence in May of that year. Of that
just fucking year. Cause.
Yeah, I don't know. Brasa, do you know? Let me know. At first, he was kept separate from other inmates, but eventually was allowed to integrate more into the general population, or gen pop as we like to call Woo! It on our prison shows.
gen pop.
He became interested in religion partly due to the materials his dad would send him in prison, books and such, and he was baptized by a local pastor. With that what you will. He was eventually assigned a work detail program and was paired up with two other prisoners to do the task. And they were left alone in the showers to complete their work. So I don't know if it was.
Oh my God, I'm pretty sure that's the worst place.
Well, me and Ressa always said when we watched the prison show Oz that.
Don't drop the soap. If it was.
What?
I said, don't drop the soap.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the kitchen's pretty fucking shitty too, but you definitely don't want to be left alone in the gym. And they are basically left alone in the gym because they were left alone in the gym showers is where
apparently sounds like his own little slice of heaven. Little Jeffrey, the gym yes. showers. Plenty of shirtless guys yes. were going to be in there. It's his favorite thing in life. Shirtless.
And he wanted to be with the general population. He didn't want to be left alone and solitary or whatever. He like argued for being with people. So I don't know, man. Whatever. But they were left alone. And when the guards returned about 20 minutes later, they found inmate Christopher Scarver standing over the prone figures of Dahmer and fellow inmate Jesse Anderson. Mr. Anderson. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anderson. Why'd he kill the other guy? What'd the other guy do?
We don't get a lot about it, but I'll give you what I have. Taking care of the
witness? Who else would they think did it? Like, what's the point? Oh.
Yeah, no. He had beaten them brutally with a metal bar from the weight room. What? Yeah. Again, they're in the near the gym. But Dahmer was pronounced dead within the hour, while Anderson died within days from his injuries. So they both succumbed to their injuries from this attack. And when asked about his motive for the murders, Scarver said he was, quote, disturbed. This is a quote from the article, not necessarily from his mouth, but. He was disturbed not only by his crimes, but by a habit Dahmer had developed of fashioning severed limbs from prison food to antagonize other inmates.
This is my mashed potato leg.
I didn't know he did that.
That's so weird.
No, he's so fucking weird. And after Scarver had apparently been infuriated by taunts from the pair, so apparently maybe both of them Jeffrey. Were teasing him, but
Jeffrey made a friend.
I just don't know what to believe. They're both dead. Like you said, he's killing the witness. Scarver said he confronted Dahmer about his crimes, confronted, quote unquote, before killing both men. But he asserts that the guards let it happen by leaving them unsupervised, which, I mean, is a thing. Like, guards are aware if they're leaving somebody alone like that, you know?
Yeah, I have nothing wrong with it.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Yeah, can I send money to this guy's commissary? Is he still in prison?
No kidding.
Right? Just be like, slip you, not a lot. He's still in prison, I assume, for not great crimes, but like maybe a dollar.
Right? I don't know if he's still alive. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's basically, okay, that's, you know, everything's all about the life and times of Jeffrey Dahmer. Other than now he's obviously dead. His childhood home went on sale in August of 2012, but by March 2016, it seemed to be still unrented. They were asking $8,000 for the week of the Republican National Convention to rent it. And as of 2016, it's no longer listed on the market, according to Zillow. And then I have as much as I could possibly find on each victim, which wasn't a lot, but... Yeah, Stephen Tuomi, the second victim, his body was never found. So there was four. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you know, we alluded to, he got down to trying to get rid of them, and there wasn't enough. Like, they couldn't recover anything. They never found anything, basically. So
that's always the worst. I mean, when you have nothing.
Oh yeah. Some of the relatives even say as much, like, just like you just said.
Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, God damn. It took me back up to the top. What the hell?
No.
Okay. Pardon me. Stephen Tuomi. He went missing after work on September 15th, 87. He worked at a local restaurant in Milwaukee. But he grew up in Ontonagon, Michigan. That's how I think you say it. That's how it's spelled. Must be a native word.
Yeah.
But Stephen left behind all his clothes and multiple paychecks when he went missing. So his family looked for him before finally admitting they needed to call in the police, and they reported him missing about 3 months later, apparently.
Oh, okay. That's quite a wait.
It seems long to me too, but I wonder if that's just now and because we don't know this person, and a lot of them, you know, maybe weren't strangers to going MIA for some period of time.
Yeah, that's gotta be what's going on.
Yeah, but this, it's like you're gonna leave behind your clothes and paychecks, and that's why they were like, okay, eventually they're like, no, this is not like him.
Yeah. But
Jeffrey Dahmer said he originally said he didn't remember killing Tuomi or any of the details. Oh. Anyway, sorry.
I was just going to say, there's just too many in your body count. You can't remember right. This one.
It's only the second one. Oh, but by the time he gets caught, yeah. But then he said that it had happened at the Ambassador Hotel and that he probably did it in a drunken stupor.
Oh, well, you sound very, like, efficient and capable of murder in your drunken stupor.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, I'm gonna drink me that whiskey and then I don't even have to think about killing. It just happens.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh my God. Then we had Jamie Dotstater, who I mentioned before, but his mother, Debbie Vegas, said he was independent and outgoing. And he lived with his mother and stepfather and three other siblings. And I could identify a little bit. He did get in trouble for skipping school sometimes. Just, you know, could be any of us. He got into a fight with his stepfather and ran away or left home about 3 years prior to his disappearance. But his mother, you know, they weren't estranged or anything, really. Like, she grieved for him. She said he had a lot of love to give. And she also had said that, I just want to forget about this for a little while. Which is just heartbreaking.
Aw. Yeah. That's a sad thing to say.
Yeah. And you just can't. Also, oh, then he killed Richard Guerrero, who was another one whose body was never discovered. He was last seen leaving home for his friend's house with about $3 in his pocket, and that's why some people, I think that he was probably lured by the photo shoot money kind of news. Yeah. Because other than that, he was like a family-oriented young man who apparently took his mother to run errands and to go shopping and all sorts of that lovely family stuff. He then killed Anthony Sears, who had worked at the Baker Square restaurant where he had recently been promoted. He had a girlfriend and was apparently also part of the LGBTQIA plus community. He had come out as bisexual. And he and his friend Bob Ked went back to Dahmer's grandma's house. But I think Bob must have left and survived because he wasn't on.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what happened to Bob?
I know. Bob, where you at? No. Anthony's sister Gerald Martin points to the lax supervision on Dahmer that allowed him to kill Conorak S. That long, difficult Asian name. I'm sorry, that's why I shortened it. But like, okay, this is what the point we're getting to, or she point was getting to, especially was like, the supervision on him that allowed him to kill Conorak while on probation for molesting Conorak's brother, because he was literally on probation for getting caught molesting the one boy.
Jeez.
When they found the other boy running away naked and bleeding down the street and then brought him back to be killed. So that poor family had to suffer, like, two of their sons.
I didn't even realize that, like, it was the same family.
Yeah, I kind of didn't mention it that way until now, because there's just so many people to talk about, but it's also so crazy that, like, one of the ones that fortunately was able to get away, at least to live, you know, his literal brother was targeted. Like, it's so fucked up.
Oh, that's terrible.
Dickwad. I know.
Yeah. Like, fuck. What a psycho.
Right?
So stupid.
That one makes you so mad.
All because people are breathing and moving and he doesn't, like...
And torsos.
And torsos. How dare people be shirtless? Ah, I can't control my impulses when attractive people are shirtless.
Women have to cover up. I can't cover myself. But except in his case, he's not targeting women. He's the one that targeted men. So it's a little...
Yeah.
Yeah, different. So that victim, Anthony's mother, had said, it has to be more than just him for as long as he's been getting through the system like that. So she believed he's probably not the only one who's, you know, been getting away with shit like this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah, sad. There's so many of them.
Oh, yeah. Sad but true. The next was Eddie Smith, Eddie Warden Smith was one of the four victims whose bodies were never able to be discovered or recovered or whatever. And he was last seen exiting either an establishment named the Phoenix Bar on June 14th or a birthday party on June 22nd. And both of those facts came from the same article. So I don't know.
Oh, wow.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They don't know either. Oops, I went down too far. It was so hard to find stuff on the poor victims. Felt so bad.
I know. Ugh. Yeah, that's always the weird thing, right? We have like every detail basically of Dahmer's whole life, like I talked about, but we can barely get like a couple sentences out.
Yeah.
About somebody else's life.
Yeah, you like Google them and they're like, this is how they died. This is how they died. And you're like, I feel bad, but
look at the crime scene pictures. Look at them. Click on them. Do it.
And it's they like, were literally alive in the time almost of the internet. You could find some information on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost done. Well, it takes a while because he killed a fuck ton of people. Poor friends of Eddie's had seen him with Dahmer before at various clubs. Carolyn Smith, Eddie's sister, reported her brother missing in summer of 1990, but didn't think they took her very seriously, according to her. She tried to get a news station to feature his photo on TV, but they refused.
Oh, yeah, that's like terrible.
I know, she really tried to get the word out. She would like to have some sort of memorial put up to honor the victims, but is adamant it not be near his old apartment where the killings took place. Quote, they should have some kind of a place where you could go and see a picture of these young boys he murdered. It's part of history. You could show the families that kind of respect, end quote.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think so. She obviously really loved her brother.
Yeah.
She wishes Dahmer had had to spend longer in jail before he was killed, but she states that she has forgiven him.
Don't know how. Oh, I wouldn't have.
I know.
I would never.
I mean, how?
Ever.
You'd think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I think I would do.
In any situation where somebody intentionally, like, killed somebody like that, I would never, ever forgive them.
Again, I don't know what I do. I think sometimes they forgive them not for the other person, but for themselves so they can move on. But I'm not a very religious person, so I don't know what I'd do. I really don't. It would be so hard. Ugh. Then we had Ricky Beeks, aka Raymond Lamont Smith, from Rockford, Illinois. So I guess he went by Ricky sometimes, but his family said it was not out of character for him to go off for long periods sometimes. It was not unusual. Not unusual to go off for some time. No, I can't make this light. I don't know. He may have worked as a sex worker, and he was definitely in Milwaukee visiting family, and he had a 10-year-old daughter.
No.
Yeah. Then we had Ernest Miller. Ernest Marquez Miller was a handsome and talented dancer who worked as a busboy in a Chicago hotel downtown. And he was a very caring and loving person, said his relatives. It's hard for us, said his uncle Stanley Miller, because when we last saw Ernest, Ernest was so full of life. And when we went to the coroner's office, there was nothing but a skeleton.
Jeez.
Yeah. Then we had David Thomas, who was the fourth victim whose body has never been found. He had a 3-year-old daughter. He lived off and on with his girlfriend, the little girl's mother, and was on probation for retail theft. He was last seen on September 24th of 1990. It's a list and there's no way to read it otherwise because he killed so many goddamn people, so many men. For once it's all men. It's definitely, it's not the usual demographic, but
Yeah, maybe that's why people are like just so obsessed with him, because they're like, oh, he was gay. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, he definitely seems cold-blooded anyway.
Yeah.
Curtis Durrell Strotter, who had a grandmother named Catherine Strotter, who said he left home on February 18th and said, I haven't seen him since that. He was out all over with everybody. She didn't know where he was. No. But Dahmer said that he observed him waiting for a bus. It's like, oh my God, how many times have I been waiting for a bus?
Thanks. Yeah, and people are just like driving down the street. You don't know who's looking at you. That's so creepy.
Exactly. That's what makes so many of these creepy, these cases, when you're just like, okay, we've all been here and done that, and you're just not safe anywhere.
Yeah.
So David's mother said, I've got a lot of hatred, a lot of anger. And she like stared him down in the courtroom. Courtroom. I said that kind of weird.
Courtroom.
Courtroom. Courtroom. And she said afterwards, I want to see what kind of person could do something like that. You look to see if there's something there.
I would have chucked something at the back of his head. Right. And then, like, been like, yes, as they hauled me away for, like, disrupting the court. And, like, I chucked at something at his head. Anything. A shoe. Yes. I don't care. Would have taken off my shoe and thrown it at his head.
You sound like this next victim's sister, because Errol Lindsay... sister, quote, Rita Isabel, 33, the sister of Errol Lindsay, said she watched other relatives of victims speak Monday with heads bowed and eyes lowered. When it was her turn, Miss Isabel shrieked, Jeffrey, I hate you. Jeffrey, I hate you. Then it just said 3/8. So I was like, did I write that right?
3/8. Is that an emoji? She said,
Jeffrey, I hate you. 3/8. No, I don't know it. I copied and pasted. God damn it.
This is it like problem. Source 38?
I'm not sure. I'm just going to go with Jeffrey, I hate you, and called him Satan. She yelled obscenities at him and charged the table where he sat with his
lawyers. Yes.
End quote.
Small round of applause.
She was escorted out by sheriff's deputies. Quote, they all had to just sit there and hold it in, Miss Isabel said to the other relatives. What he saw out of me is what Errol would have done. The only difference is Errol would have leaped over that table. She's like, representing her brother. I'm so sweet.
Why not scream at him? Oh my God, I would.
She like looked like she wanted to claw his eyeballs out.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful.
Went down too far.
I mean, if that's your only chance,
yeah.
Why be like, I hope you feel like no.
She let it all out.
Yeah.
No, but she said she wanted Dahmer, who was portrayed by his lawyer as out of control at the time of his killings, quote, to see what out of control is.
So yeah,
trying to get a point across. His 12th victim, Tony Hughes, had a mother named Shirley, who was quoted as saying she felt sorry for Dahmer. This is the opposite end of the spectrum right here. She sounds very empathetic, saying that he has feelings too, and she said that she didn't hate him.
Yeah, so, he has feelings. Everybody has feelings, and everybody, can be neglected or abused as a child or whatever, doesn't mean they should go on to murder a bunch of people.
No, and I don't know how they come to, you know, have that point of view. They must be very Christian.
Yeah, never feel sorry. Yeah, like, oh my God, never. I would never feel sorry for them.
Yeah, almost sorry. She seems to be empathetic. It's also the other point I have about this victim was that actually he was deaf from early childhood. So he was the only deaf victim. And I noticed that you mentioned that, I can't remember now exactly, his mother worked with the telegraph or the teletype or something that
deaf
people.
I think it does, like, I don't know if it does tones or something over the phone, like almost like Morse code signals that can be like decoded by like this program, and then it will like say what the person like basically like,
For lack of a better teletype. Thing. Like, okay. It's kind of like Braille, but it's more for...
It can be like transmitted over like regular phone lines. And I guess like a variation of it still used today.
That's pretty cool. But I also don't know in like what
capacity.
Maybe that broke the ice between them. I don't know. He doesn't seem to have a problem picking up guys, though. That's for sure. He doesn't seem to have an issue. And also this Tony was very active in the Milwaukee gay community. So he was gay, he was deaf. I think they had some things to bond over, unfortunately for Tony. His 13th victim, which we touched on, was Conorak Synthasomphone, who was originally from Laos. They moved to the US in 1979. So they had been previously living in a refugee camp in Thailand. He fell onto Dahmer's radar when he was out at a shopping mall in May 91. And he fought for his life once he was drugged in the monster's lair. He had made it to help in the form of Dahmer's neighbors, Sandra Smith and Nicole Childress. Yeah, he was the one that got out. Or one of the ones at this point, we'll say. but sorry, that's not that funny. But yeah, the neighbors found him, but the police failed him that day. So...
yeah,
they brought him back. They said they thought he was silent because he couldn't speak English, not that he was under duress or drugged in any way. But still important to note, like, only three of his victims were white, I think, as I might have already said earlier. But
yeah, I think Stephen Hicks was
wasn't a big percentage. And that could be because they're less vulnerable if they're not white, usually.
Yeah, different, like, populations and stuff. Yeah, even now, there's, like, a disparity kind of thing going on. But it was definitely more prevalent in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Sure, yeah, I can just be against you. And there was... just a few more. He killed Matt Turner, who he met at a great gay pride parade in Chicago. And Matt Cleveland Turner was a black man, so he was one of his black victims. And he was tricked into traveling to Dahmer's apartment for a photo shoot. So he came all the way from Chicago back to...
wow.
Where was he? Yeah, Milwaukee, I guess. And... this 15th victim was Jeremiah Weinberger, who was of Jewish and Puerto Rican descent, and they had met at Carol's Speakeasy Bar in Chicago. He was apparently reluctant, but came back with Dahmer to his apartment, and one source said after 4 days was drugged then. Seemed like a long time. Yeah, I don't know if they were having fun or what, but... he was described by Dahmer as very affectionate, to which Dahmer sounded almost surprised when describing him as being affectionate. Like he couldn't imagine anyone being that way to him.
Maybe he was more like cooperative with what was going on, where he didn't feel like he had to drug him until he's like, dude, it's been 4 days. And then he's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, he was apparently a little bit more attracted to Dahmer before he revealed his true colors. But like, again, you're picking guys up at gay bars. Well, of course they're going to be like, yeah, I'm into you. Let's do this thing. Like, don't act surprised then. Like, you're the one. Ugh, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Ugh. More about him was, there was an article that said the father of one of serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer's victims failed today in a Supreme Court bid to hold Dahmer's probation officer legally responsible for his son's death. The court, without comment, turned away Aaron David Weinberger's argument that the probation officer's failure to visit Dahmer's apartment gave the killer the chance to commit heinous crimes there. So he tried to
sue them. If they're supposed to be doing, like, in-home visits.
They did not do a good job, you're right.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, seems, I don't know if preventable is the right word, but something.
And yeah, then, I'm watching.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm watching the, on Netflix, the trials of Gabriel Fernandez. That, like, he's a, it's hard to watch, but he's the 8-year-old boy that was basically, like, tortured by, like, child abuse by his mom and his mom's boyfriend for, like, 8 months until his death. And they actually put, like, the 4 social workers that did, or 2 social workers and their supervisors, like, on trial, basically, like, facing prison time. Failure. Yeah, because they, like, falsified reports, they, like, failed to document injuries. They failed when they did home visits to ask to even see the kid. They just talked to the mom, and then they, his siblings, in the one I watched this morning, his siblings were talking because he had an older brother and an older sister, and they were saying, like, what would happen when the social workers would come, and they kept saying, oh, Gabriel would be put in the cupboard, because like, the mom basically made him sleep in a cupboard, like, cupboard inside her bedroom. Oh, it's so much smaller than that. It's basically like a cabinet. But they used to, so they'd be like, yeah, when the social worker would come, he would be put in the cabinet so that he couldn't come out and talk to them. And then they're like, okay, well, the social workers are there because of injuries that are being reported at school that he's coming to school with. So they're supposed to be asking to see the kid to see whether or not these injuries require, like, medical attention and stuff. And every time they were like, yeah, so what happened? The mom, we were like, oh, like, he fell on his bike and he got, like, some scrapes, or he wasn't wearing his helmet, so he, like, hit his head or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. And they'd basically go, but they wouldn't even ask to see him. And they're like, well, clearly if you asked to see him, they would have been like, where is he? Well, he's in the fucking cupboard. Like, oh, it was awful. Absolutely awful. Not doing their
job.
No, but, like, the stuff they did to this kid is, like, disgusting.
Like, no kidding.
Absolutely disgusting stuff they did to him.
That's harsh.
Like, I've only,
I have a hard time listening to stuff like that.
Yeah, I've only heard of one that was worse, and they, like, oh, yeah, I've only heard of one case that was ever, like, worse, of, like, people abusing their kids. But, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy, but
yeah, child abuse, that's rough.
But yeah, it's, you're talking about them, like, trying to prosecute the police officer or the probation officer, just reminded me of, like, them, because they were saying it was, like, unprecedented, them trying to like, reprimand basically these social workers.
That's so silly. They should be able to do that. There should be able to be measures where they can reprimand cops, and they can't all stick behind each other.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like, don't prosecute all cops. They're not all bad, but, like, at the same time, if some are bad, you should be able to bring them to justice.
Yeah, they shouldn't believe there's some sort of brotherhood, us against the entire world, and take it so, when they're saying, well, that one fosters person's
that kind of problem to say us versus them, then you have that kind of mentality, and then you project that, and then
Other
people see it that way. All right, I gotta finish this and then go get a drink of water or something. I'm pasty. We have finally the last two victims. We have Oliver Lacey, who was nicknamed Birdie. I'm not sure why. But he was very close to his sister Annette, and he had a fiance named Rose. So actually, that just occurred to me that that would have been kind of adorable, Birdie and Rose. But he worked as a custodian at a cleaning company, and his aunt Madis, I've never seen this word name before, M-A-D-I-S.
I don't know.
I know. She said she will miss his smile the most. He never let anything get him down, she said. And finally, the last known victim is Joseph Braidholt, who was a father of three. So that's really shitty. And he was looking for work in Milwaukee when he was killed. And I could not find anything more about him.
Yeah.
And there was a few quotes that came up, even though I wasn't really looking for that kind of shit, but damned if he didn't say some creepy stuff. And then, it kind of fit with this whole narrative of his theme. He said, "The only motive that there ever was to completely control a person I found physically attractive, and keep them with me as long as possible, even if it meant just keeping a part of them."
Ugh. Weird. Dude.
You're not allowed. You can't have my dirty tampon or whatever it is. My finger. You can't cut off my nipple and put it on a belt. It's just...
No. Yeah, like, what the fuck is wrong with...
Oh. Yeah. Why do you need to possess people like that? I don't get it. He's fucked up.
In such, like, a final way, too. Like...
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, the only way you, like, get your rocks off, too, for someone like him. It's just, like, his...
Yeah.
It's his thing.
I don't know. Yeah. Ugh. So let us weird. Know
what you think.
Yeah. If you like the episode or the format of the episode, you can let us know. If you want to hear us cover more of like the big serial killers or big cases, we could do more on here. Or otherwise, we'll keep saving them for Patreon then if nobody wants to hear it now.
I know, it's been a while since we did one of those on Patreon. Yeah,
it was our first one we did, second. Was it the second one?
Yeah, I believe it was the second. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's definitely some good shit, like true crime documentaries and shit that, you know, would be good for a recap or a, you know, review kind of episode.
Yeah.
Let us know. Otherwise, thanks. We'll just decide ourselves.
Yeah, we'll just keep deciding. We don't care. We don't care what you want. No. Yeah, okay, we don't care what you want.
Though I hate deciding. Yeah.
We basically look at our lives and be like, "This is what ones I've thought of. What have you thought of? Oh, cool. Let's do this then."
Oh my god, episode topic lists are funny. Yeah. Yeah, I know people that are like, "I've had this list forever," but then when you look at it every week, you don't want to do that topic that week because you look at it. And I was like, I can see that. It doesn't seem fresh, but no, that's the thing. There's so many freaking topics. It's hard to decide to narrow it down. That's all. But we'll do it. We'll figure it out every week. We won't run out.
No, I mean if the other podcasts haven't run out, we sure
no, and we have an episode for next week. I mean, whether or not we're splitting this one up, we know what we're doing next week. Do you know? We are doing something that you wanted to do, but
I'm doing that. You're doing something different.
Yeah. I would just say we're doing paranormal phenomena again next week because it's a paranormal episode, baby. So
yeah, some weird stuff. Yeah.
Some It'll stuff that's fun. Close to our heart. some mysteries we really enjoy. Yeah. I think that'll be good.
I started my research already.
Oh, shit.
Because
you go.
It's a topic that's fascinated me for a while. So I was excited. Basically, as soon as I finished the Dahmer notes, I was like, oh, let's start Googling the next one. Everything.
Watching Just like YouTube you're excited videos, for looking at pictures. Cooper. Yeah.
That's I was so funny. Excited for that.
Playing mysteries. Yes, I enjoyed that too. I love a good fucking mystery.
Yeah,
we'll have to do lots of mysteries this year.
Yeah, mysteries are fun. We get to play detective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love a good heist.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, well, catch us on Patreon if you can't wait till next week. But until then.
Till then, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. So we're in sync. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
This has been Castles and Cryptids. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and our YouTube channel. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. On our website, you can listen to all of our episodes as well as view pictures for each of our segments. Check out our Patreon page to view all of our tiers and become a Patreon supporter today to unlock monthly bonus episodes and behind-the-scenes content. We are working on an Ask Us Anything. You can submit questions by social media or by email at castlesandcryptids@gmail.com. Do you have a spooky ghost story, a creepy cryptid sighting, or a thrilling true crime tale you would like to share and have us include in a future episode? Send us your listener story by social media or by email. Please include the name that you would like mentioned. Our music is by Kobe Affair. Our logo and artwork is by Antonio Garcia. Thanks for listening!